911 Bigfoot Help presents Wyman Returns to continue discussion on podcast planning, future episodes, questions and answers, stories shared, and now let's continue with Wyman as he finishes sharing about that angel dogman encounter, which was a cliffhanger from the last episode. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Believe it or not, but this guy, that had all happened, if I got this right, but then this guy had a friend that wanted to come down here and he wanted to shoot a deer. And he didn't have a license or anything, but he had money and he didn't care. He was going to poach. He was going to shoot a deer, and he wanted some fresh deer meat, and he wanted to shoot a deer and do it, and if he got caught, he got caught. And him and this other, his friend that lived in Colorado, this guy was from Canada, his friend in Colorado just took his camera and went out there with him to help him spot deer.
Okay.
And take pictures. And what happened, Albert, is a dog man just showed up, come walking out of some trees. And this guy, these two guys were just standing there looking at it. And the one guy acted like he, should I shoot it or what? And they said, no, don't do anything. And then the thing spotted him. And then Albert, this angel with wings and a sword, come walking out of the trees. And this dog man saw him, and they went to fight. And the angel had a sword and used a sword, and he basically killed the dog man.
Wow.
And then they almost thought that some crazy thing was happening. Somebody was putting all this on to video it or something. They didn't know. It was really weird. And what happened is the angel, they said, what do we call you? And he told them some name. And he took the dog man by the leg and drug him off and took him back to the porthole. He said, where did you come from? He said, there's a porthole over here. And
so dog man can travel the same way Bigfoot can.
Yeah. And so can angels.
Is this the angel you mentioned a few minutes ago?
Is this the angel what I talked about?
When we were talking about large footprints, is this the same angel you were talking about?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is a big clue. So coming through a portal means you're physical. Yeah. And that an angel came through as physical to physically kill a dog man that was physical. This is big.
To protect this guy who had killed one.
The idea of protection again comes up.
And the angel said, you know, he was here to kill you.
Wow.
Because you killed others. He was here to kill you. That's why I'm here.
So dog,
I'm looking after you.
So dog men care if you kill one of their own.
Right.
So they're more than an animal. Have you heard of hellhounds?
Yeah.
Evidently, they're bigger than normal. Dog, super mean, red eyes. I think they see them in the Middle East. But they're not dogmen.
They're not dogmen.
Yeah. What do you think Dogman is? Because we've heard of shapeshifting, but they're seen so often. I don't think a shapeshifting Native American witch situation would be as frequent as what people are seeing.
I don't know.
We've heard they're meaner than Bigfoot. We've heard Bigfoot is afraid of them. We've also heard that Bigfoot has their way with dogmen. They can conquer dogmen. I've heard both. I would think a family unit would not want a dogman encounter, where the alpha males probably could handle it. I mean, if they're protecting Judy from dogman, dogman's keeping pretty busy. What's the agenda there?
Dogman's pretty busy, or Bigfoot is?
Dogman seems pretty busy.
Yeah.
Showing up, causing problems, causing fear. And for an angel to show up to protect, that's very telling. Did this happen in your neck of the woods? Where did this story take place?
I thought that story took place somewhere in Colorado.
That's right.
Colorado or Utah, somewhere in that area.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's probably good it wasn't around where you live then. have you seen Dogman there?
Yeah.
And you live in Washington.
Remember, I had a photo that I showed you and a camera. I'd put a game cam out, and the game camera took a picture right after Sherry and I showed up. Now, it's kind of a funny thing, but Sherry was home, and LeGrand, and I went over behind, what's that town?
Stevens. Yeah, Stevens, over by the gift.
The one before Stevens.
Carson,
yeah.
Over by the Gifford Pinchot National Forest.
Right. And I had camera way back in there, like 15, 20, close to 25 miles. And I put it there, and it was an over camera, hard to get it to work. And I put it there at the base of a tree, and everything sloped downhill from there. So I put it down on the ground, kind of under a little bit of a fern, so people couldn't see it, okay?
Okay.
It was hard to turn on, and I went back to check it, and it wasn't on.
Oh, no.
So I reset it, and I'm by myself this time, and I reset it, and I come back like a week, 2 weeks later with Sherry, and it had taken pictures of some elk walking through there. And then there was a big tree, like 36 inch through diameter.
Yeah.
And it looked like on the left side of it, looking at it, on the left side of it, looked like to me, you could faintly make out two Bigfoots, one behind the other. But on the right side of the tree, you could see a little bit lower a dog face.
Have I seen this picture?
I thought I gave it to you, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that we really talk about a lot, isn't it? I'm going to have to look back at that. I remember, is it the one where there's like a Bigfoot blocking the camera and allowing other Bigfoots to be walking by? But
No. This is over there. That one was here on the property.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. You're talking about Gifford Pinchot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's back in there a ways. It's actually back pretty close to where I found the inverted tree.
Okay. Oh boy, I'm gonna have to find this picture and look at it again. It's been a while.
About 3 years, maybe four. And when I went back, I retrieved the camera, and Sherry stood by the truck with a pistol in hand, and she just made sure that I made it back to the truck okay. I went down there, and I had a handgun on me, but I took and went down there, got the camera, come back. And according to the time on the camera, and I don't know if it's correct, but on the camera there was like a picture of an elk and another picture of an elk walking by. And they were fairly close to the camera. And then the next picture was just a picture of like that tree area. And something caused the camera to take a picture. And I don't know. That's what was on it.
Right.
And it was about this, just within minutes of when I went down there to get it.
Surely you showed that picture to me, and it's probably in the timeline we put in your website for that year. So I'll go back 3 years and 4 years and review that. It's interesting, everything we forget. And so reading the timeline is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Dogman, the DNA of Dogman, you know, what do you think we're looking at there? Because it's dog and man. Because it's an upright, it can be an upright situation. Now, if it's a skinwalker, Native American situation there, shape-shifting, which we've heard in satanic circles is something they try to do behind closed doors through their occult stuff. So, well, maybe that's the answer. But for an angel to show up and kill it, that makes it sound like it's an actual animal, not some shape-shifting occultist.
Or a spiritual being.
Right, because we've heard that God has created angels for the purpose of killing the evil spiritual beings.
From what I'm hearing in the near-death experience people, that there's different levels of heaven, and level number two, I believe, it might be a level one, but... level number two, I think. Angels are fighting demons. And they're fighting them right now for the power to influence you and me.
Okay.
The little voices you hear in your head now and then?
Yeah.
That's what they're fighting for, is that opportunity to influence our thoughts. And it can be with bad words, sexual things. It can be anything that can be bad or sinful.
That makes sense. We forget that we're being attacked all the times with the sin, and that's a weapon of the enemy.
Yep. He's here all the time trying to influence us. And Albert, when I sit here alone at night, sometimes during the day, sometimes when Sherry's here, I'll say to Sherry, "Do you smell that?" "No, what are you smelling? What's it smell like?" "I don't know. It's kind of different, this or that, you know." And it's an angel or it's a demon. But sometimes, if it's a good angel, you'll smell something good, pleasant, like myrrh.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, last fall, I was sitting here, front door open, back door open. Sherry wasn't here. I was by myself. And I smelled a Sasquatch. And he was close. And the wind was coming in the back door, blowing through the house. And I mean, he was in back by the shed or closer. I didn't get up to go look, but he really stunk. Really a strong smell. And he was there for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then he left.
If only he knew that you were noticing.
Yeah.
A person that large that presumably doesn't bathe or maybe has been on a long trip, makes sense they would smell.
Yeah, plus the fact that they kill animals and carry them over their back and they get all that dead, dried, rotten blood on their hair. You know?
Yeah, that would be true.
So, a lot of people say they smell like dead animals.
Right. Sometimes people say wet dog smell mixed with trash.
And some people say skunk.
Okay. And some.
Sherry and I were driving just a few days ago or last week. And we went to Portland and come back. And on the way, I said, "You smell that?" And she said, "No, what? No, oh, yeah." She said, "It smelled more like skunk." I said, "No, that's a Sasquatch." And she said, "No, it smells like skunk to her." And I, well,
just think if they could mimic the smells. Why not? They're so good at being elusive. Oh, by the way, I said, "Judy, do they live underground?" And she said, "Yeah." So I'm just saying that to say, not only are they good at not being seen, they can't be seen if they're living underground.
Yeah.
I'm suspicious of a certain corner off your property. I've never walked over there before. There's a grove of trees there, and I've been curious to walk over there someday. So, sorry, go ahead.
Alan was working back here last fall, and he was throwing limbs on this pile. He had cut a bunch of trees, and he was stacking up the limbs, okay?
Right.
When you stack the limbs up like that, like you're going to burn them, that also provides cover for like small little birds or quail or anything like that. And it protects them from hawks and things like that, that try to fly down and get them.
Smart.
Those little birds can get back in those branches away from a hawk, and a hawk can't get to him. So that's, and it also gives them thermal protection in the winter, you know.
What is the end goal for Alan stacking those there?
Well, Alan was stacking them there, and he was picking them up here and turning there from right to left and throwing them on this stack right to left. And he looked around, and he saw Sasquatch standing there looking at him on the other side of the pile.
Oh, my.
He come back and picked up a limb and said, "What did I see?" And he looked back, and nothing was there. It was gone.
Oh.
But he did see it, and he knows it.
Tell him to do a sketch. Tell him to draw this thing.
Yeah. The other thing is, he was working down with my truck. This is weird. Working down with my truck, down across the fence, and he had put the car keys on the dash. And he went to pick up the corpses and they were gone. And he started looking around trying to figure out where he lost them. And they were gone all that day and all the next day. And you want to know something?
Yeah, what's that?
They showed up right here on the ledge above my table right here in front of my TV.
Oh.
Poof, just like that. They were there.
Huh. Hmm.
That blew him away. Now, Sherry says that was a ghost.
A helpful ghost, I take it.
Yeah. Sherry and I were here about 3 weeks ago in the morning. Alan usually shows up about 11, feeds the animals and stuff, brings in firewood, this and that. And my ex-wife, Linda, pays him. And we were sitting here. She was in the kitchen. I was sitting here at the table. And we heard the basement door slam like Alan comes. He comes here, he opens the door, and when he shuts it, it just kind of, the wind sucks it over shut, and it kind of slams. Well, the door in the basement slammed. And I said, I didn't hear Alan's truck. And got up and looked out the window. Alan wasn't here.
That's a door that normally is shut.
Yep.
And he wouldn't have left it open.
He wasn't here.
He wasn't there to leave it open.
Overnight, I mean. Last time he was here was the night or the day before, the morning before. Alan hadn't been here in almost 24 hours.
You said this happened 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Wow, that's recent.
Yeah.
So at some point you went down and locked the door?
No. Nope. Didn't do anything.
Because, hey, if it's a ghost, why bother?
Yeah. I asked Sherry, I said, what do you think that was? And she said, a ghost.
You know, I would say, have you ever considered holy water? But obviously the ghost didn't have a negative intention towards you.
No, I don't do stuff. I know holy water's in the Bible.
When you hear accounts of exorcisms, the demons don't like it, that's for sure. Anything blessed, they probably don't like.
No.
So spirits, now that's a topic. Entities, that's a tricky word. Spirits don't have flesh. But demons want to inhabit flesh so they can experience that again because they used, Enoch teaches us something that makes a whole lot of sense. Spirits or demon spirits are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim bloodline that died in the flood. That makes so much sense. But then there's the fallen angels, who the Catholics feel are the demons. But they're supposed to be in prison. But when we do things like the wrong kind of sexual activity or a Ouija board, there's all these openings we can create for the fallen angels to get out of hell. or it's the disembodied spirits of the creatures that died in the flood, and they're still on this earth. They can't go to heaven. They can't go to hell because they weren't meant to be. And that's a discussion. But and then there's spirits. There's images you've seen that are creatures or people almost look like they're behind a veil, transparent.
Yeah.
Real, and yet transparent. So that's a deep dive. In fact, that reminds me to say, as we think about podcasting topics, well, that could be one of them. Now, as we're talking right now, we're jumping around to ideas and stories and memories. That's very interesting. We're getting lots of podcasting topics just having a discussion. This probably would be called, let's say, Bigfoot Discussion, April 17th, 2025. But specific discussions could happen. What's an example of a specific podcast topic? Now, there's near-death experiences, which could be an ongoing discussion because you're going to hear more stories about that and want to share them.
Right.
We've mentioned spirits, we've mentioned portals, and that angels, Bigfoot creatures, dogmen use them. So there's a whole world out there we're somehow protected from, we think, that we're protected from it. And then as far as the Bigfoot phenomena goes, there's just so many topics. Again, your timeline, I think, is something we could read through and discuss. Or I could read it and record it, because those are your words already. So those are podcast episodes waiting to happen. I could just read them. You wouldn't have to be there. You've already done it.
Well, if you read them, and if I was listening, I could make a comment if I wanted to.
That would be interesting.
Huh?
Yes, that would be very interesting, because 2015... 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. You're going to have comments now, because now you know more. Now you've had more experiences. That first incident in 2015, you may have more to say about that now, because you've connected the dots. You've wondered if that one has passed away and might have evidence with your own eyes of that. Since then, and that occurrence where you suspected that one had passed away, that's in a different year's timeline. So, yeah, that could be the whole premise of a podcast. Then, like we're doing today, we're just kind of talking about topics all over, which is exactly what a news source would do. They're not talking about just one thing. They're talking about what's relevant. We've talked about Judy. We've talked about Dogman. We've talked about what happened to you 3 weeks ago. So I like this. I think there's a place for this kind of format also. We have a thought, we start talking about it, and it develops into more.
Yeah. There's a lot of people might be interested in that. You know, I saw that Bigfoot set of eyes about a month ago right out here in my pasture, and it wasn't like 40 yards away.
I remember you saying it was down the prairie from you, so looking up at you a bit. And was that the situation when it was foggy?
Yeah.
Okay, so it may not have known you were seeing it. It probably thought it was hidden in the fog.
Yeah, but its eyes shined and it didn't know it.
The eyes gave it away.
But that eyes gave it away. Because I couldn't see the outline of it, but I could see the red eyes looking at me.
I was going to ask the color.
Huh?
I was going to ask the color.
Yeah, they were red.
Was it like a creature at night, or was it like there was an illuminating happening from the eyes?
Well, there was eye shine, yeah.
Shine.
Oh. Right. Not eye glow, eye shine.
Okay. Enough for you to know it was there.
Oh, yeah. You... Yeah, there were red eyes looking at me 40 yards away.
Yeah.
And, yeah, obviously, I seen it and stopped my tracks.
It was foggy. It was nighttime.
Yep.
So you had your flashlight.
Headlight.
Headlight, right. Okay, on your head.
I got a pretty powerful headlight.
Okay.
So
it should have seen you. Well, no.
Yeah. I'm sure it saw me.
That's true. We've already confirmed that it saw you. It just thought it was hidden from you.
I think you're right. I think it thought it was hidden from me. But I just turned and went on into the shop and started the generator and come back out, and it was gone.
Are juveniles out at night?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I can't think of one of the adults needing to be there, standing there, snooping around. I'm sure they're very busy.
They can probably see through the fog better than you and me.
Yeah. You've said before that your property may be a safe haven for the juveniles, where the adults leave them when they're hunting or whatever. So this is interesting. So that means juveniles are up at night. What time of day do you think it was?
What time of day?
Yeah.
I'm going to say close to 10 o'clock.
Did we conclude that they are pretty much up at night?
Yeah, they are. They are up a lot. And a lot of times they're more active around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
I remember we've also discussed that in the morning, they're pretty active, like pretending to be the roosters, only doing it at the wrong time. But early in the morning, as if it's the end of their day, and then as it's turning to evening, those are the times when you hear the wood knocks, which means during the day, less activity.
Well, they would be, I felt like they were going someplace and during the night and coming back, and as they came back, they would walk in the lot above me and make chicken sounds, rooster sounds, crowing and stuff, and just mimic it, and then go off and leave. But, yeah, and it was daylight. I mean, it was broad daylight.
Broad daylight. Broad daylight before it got dark?
Well, it was, it had been dark and then got daylight. And then when the roosters started crowing, then they started mimicking the roosters.
It makes sense that some of them are up during the day because they have to have guardians, guards, watchers.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Judy mentioned when I was talking to Judy about them living underground, I was talking to her about caves and how they secure the entrance. And infrasound, she agreed, could be a way that they confuse people so you just kind of don't see it. But also they have ways of hiding the entrance that are so convincing we just don't see it.
Yep, that's for sure. That's for sure. They do that, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to have updates for you as I learn more about Judy, as I go out myself, so we can talk about that like we're doing now. Because the discussion, someday I'm going to talk to my sister. I'm going to have her listen to both episodes from Judy, and we're going to discuss it because there's so many bits of information there. Just like in this one, someone could break down this whole discussion, and there's so many topics.
Yeah. There's several topics, yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually going to be hard to pick a topic and stick with it. Because
unless you do a multi-discussion conversation and record it as such.
Sure.
But we could try to have a conversation on just basically Sasquatch, tree knocks and such like that, different noises, you know?
Yeah, I'd like to try.
Okay.
In fact, in your website, there's sections for that we could use as reference. And then there's what you can share from your experience, from your mind. But yeah, there's a lot about tree knocks, rocks, the markings of the branches and the trees that people don't consider.
Tree breaks, tree, broken branches.
Tree breaks, how they're a sign, a signal. On the TV, yeah. On the TV show Expedition Bigfoot, each season it seems there's markings, and they're learning that these markings are leading towards something specific, like the traveling Bigfoot families or members are somehow know to see these visual signs that might go unnoticed by us. So that's a topic.
Yeah.
And again, reading through the timeline is going to have sightings, rocks, the tree breaks, the smell, the vocals. And so you're going to get in one timeline. Some of the timelines are so long, they'd be easily two episodes each.
There's also different noises besides mimicking roosters or chickens. They have done rock tapping, thrown rocks at the house, made noises. They have slapped the house. They have climbed on the roof. They've been on the front porch. They've been right here beside the house and left marks in the gravel that Sherry found right beside her car or my truck.
Yeah, you found hair, really coarse hair.
Yeah, hair and different things that they've found, these weed things that they leave me.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories is how they would take eggs but leave as a gift and exchange these twisted twigs.
Yeah, piece of twig, yeah.
Then there's the twisted twig that was definitely twisted and manipulated and placed by your door so you would see it. And you knew, well, I didn't put that there. And it was on purpose.
Yep. The rock's been put right there. Just, yeah. There's been lots of stuff.
And rocks don't get there unless they're thrown or placed, and birds don't usually drop them.
Yep.
In fact, I like what you did. You cleared all the rocks so that if a new one came, you'd know it was new.
I've been noticing a lot of rocks out in the driveway lately. They're all over the place now.
Even if there was a good rain, I don't think that would produce as many rocks as you're seeing.
No.
Huh. That could be a sign of juvenile activity.
Yeah.
We don't feel the adults do that as much as the juveniles.
I heard something last night when I was in bed. I heard something outside that made a noise against the house. And I was evidently dreaming, and I woke up, and it's almost like I felt the bed move, and I just blew it off and went back to sleep. But it kind of spooked me.
You were dreaming, you felt the bed move, so you sort of woke up.
Yeah.
Okay, that is creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Huh.
Yep.
And that's why a timeline is good, because that's something that might get forgotten, but it could be a clue to something. You just need more things to happen, and then you connect the dots.
Well, they could just say, you were dreaming.
You know? Yeah. Maybe you take a Sharpie and mark around the edges of your bedposts on the floor, and then if it doesn't match, the bed moved.
You know, Sherry, a number of times here lately, Albert, how the Bible talks about the old man with dreams. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I've been dreaming a lot of dreams. And I am... I've had dreams where I've actually elbowed Sherry.
Yeah.
Or hit her. And I was asleep. I was fighting somebody. She was trying to hold my arms. You know, that type of thing.
Sure.
I've been pretty active in my sleep.
I
have three or four dreams, different dreams at night.
I just heard on a podcast called Blurry Creatures, the guest was talking about how important our time at night sleeping is. God made us to be sleeping. He could have made us to not need sleep, but he made us to need that time. And she thought that the sleeping is more than just recharging our batteries. If we would turn off the TV and have our mind fresh for sleeping, I haven't heard the whole episode, but so you're saying these dreams, we've heard dreams matter in some cases. And yeah, so you're explaining how dreams might just be more than a dream.
Yeah, one time after I had my stents put in my heart and I was on a blood thinner, I had a dream that I was fighting somebody and I fell out of bed and hit my head on this table and got a black eye from it. And I probably should have gone to the ER so they could have x-rayed me to make sure I didn't have a brain bleed or anything going on.
Oh, good.
But, yeah.
Don't want to do that too often, huh?
Nope. Only fell out of bed twice. That's been about it. And it's not always easy getting up when you're laying on the floor and twisted sideways and things.
Yeah.
Boy.
Falling Out of Bed by Wyman.
Sherry was feeling sick and she was shaky and she was running a fever and things were going on and she was, it was about 11 or 12 o'clock at night and she had her walker and she started to go into the bathroom and she lost balance or passed out and she fell on the floor, injured her back some, and her arm, she couldn't get up. And I had to call 911, get an ambulance here. And it was two guys tried to lift her up. They couldn't. And they called help for another guy. couple, three guys come in another rig, and five guys picked her up and carried her out of here. And she went to the hospital, the ER, and they checked her out, and she had a bad kidney infection and was running a fever and was almost septic. She was septic when she got there, but the antibiotics they give her, and they checked her blood 3 or 4 hours later, she wasn't, because the antibiotics cleared it up. And they kept her in the hospital for 3 days.
Okay. Living off grid and an ambulance coming, how did that feel?
I can tell you, because they did it to me a month before.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, a month before, I was down with the flu. And Sherry called me from La Grande and was trying to talk to me, and I was about half out of it and not wanting to talk to her, and told her, leave me alone, call me later.
And yeah.
She called 911 in La Grande, and they got hold of 911 in Goldendale and sent an ambulance up here. And they sent a sheriff first, and then they sent an ambulance with about four guys, and they carried me out of here. And I was in the hospital 3 days, too.
I bet they didn't look forward to coming up that road of yours. Say, I should probably go soon. It's homemade hamburger night here. But I have some final questions. Podcasters have a different way of doing an intro. Some do music. Some have segments of comments that are really impactful. Sasquatch Chronicles does both, music with the comments. And I'm trying not to copy the great ideas that others have done, but yeah. You get to choose. So I have been just going right into the discussion. I figured that's why people are listening. They want to hear the content.
Yeah.
But I have intro and outro music because of a friend that does instrumental music. So let's do this. When we do our first one, I'll upload it with intro and outro music that's instrumental, that I think fits your personality or your situation or your style. And you can say no, and I'll say okay. Then I'll upload a different way, and you can say yes or no.
Okay.
So think about it. And there could be no intro music, but there's instrumental music with that creepy vibe that might be fitting for certain episodes or all of them. But like,
Keep the intro short.
Right.
You can let the extra exit be longer if you want.
Right. Okay, we'll do that. So when I upload the first one, I'll send you the link, and you can listen to the intro. And then it's not too hard for me to change the intro. And if we never find intro music you like, that's okay. So yeah. Another question. Do you want to ask the people in your life if we can mention their name?
Oh, okay.
Because we don't have to mention their name, and if we do accidentally, when I edit, I can take out the names.
I see.
So something to think about. So, and so the people and their names, intro and outro. I've heard podcasters say 45 minutes is a good amount of time because of people's interest level. I think if you really like the subject, who cares if it's an hour and a half? Because all I have to do is press stop and listen to the rest tomorrow. But I've heard that. Keep them like concise. So like, for example, we've been talking for about an hour and 37 minutes, that's easily two episodes. I just create a transition in the middle, boom, two episodes. We had a talk. And so if we talk once a week, if we don't have time, 45 minutes is fine. If we're really into the discussion, boom, easy to get two episodes. So that's just some thoughts on length. If it's too long, hey, that's okay. We got two episodes out of it. So be thinking about what I think you're available. So the question would be, am I available? So let's get a feel for when we want to record. Looks like Saturdays work. But it could be any day, really. It just depends.
Yeah.
So why don't we say we will look at the 2015 and that can lead into 2016 timelines for a starter. If you have another idea, that's fine. For example, if you have a Bigfoot experience tomorrow, well, that could be what it is. It never has to be a set thing. But going into this next week when we can talk again, and I'm thinking 2015 timeline. So, and again, discussions like this that are just discussions, that's a podcast too. That there's lots of information. I would call this an update. So,
yeah, I would, I'll try to find the Dogman station for you to listen to. And then we'll try to find the one where the guy had the angel kill the dog man.
Okay, thank you.
So
yeah, there's,
you can get that for you to hear.
Okay.
You'd be, it's amazing.
I think people will find there's more Dogman information than they realize, and I think there might be more Dogman encounters. I'm not sure about that, but there are a lot of podcasts about Dogman, and there's a lot of encounters. So, yes, thank you. Well, hey, I'll talk to you soon, and I'll be texting you too.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.